The Office of Management and Budget is giving agencies 18 milestones to take advantage of new online transaction portal from concept to reality. Federal News Radio obtained a memo sent to agency chief information officers detailing a series of requirements for the login.gov platform between now and October. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller got hold of that memo and writes about it in his reporter's notebook. He joins me now with exclusive details. First of all, Jason, we should remind people what login.gov is and why it's important.
So this is a new initiative from the General Services Administration's 18F group. And what they're trying to do is create a online transactional tool between citizens and government. Make it so you can do identity proofing, identity authentication. So you, Tom, if you want to go to Social Security and figure out how much money Social Security you're entitled to, you could log in using this new platform, this new tool. 18F just announced it maybe about a month ago that their plans to go forward. And what this memo does is really sets out the path forward on top of that initial announcement.
It's almost like a single sign-on idea for federal government, which is something they've been pursuing probably since the 90s.
Right, and we've talked about this a couple weeks ago, Tom, when I first wrote about the login.gov initiative. This is probably the fourth time somebody somewhere in government has said, we should do this. Remember e-authentication, you remember the federal bridge, connect.gov, well, here we go again. What's different now, Tom, I think, in this is important is these 18 really milestones that OMB is laying out versus just the come on, please, you guys should use it, it's going to be good. Over the next few months, what's going to happen is this: GSA specifically has 8 milestones to meet, including delivering a common technical and user interface components, requirements for identity proofing, credentialing and multi-factor authentication, providing metrics and data on a public-facing applications and services, and releasing an identity design standards and identity services playbook. So that's all on GSA's shoulders and 18F specifically. There's also OMB has going to provide some new guidance around how to use and implement this new identity platform. And then agency CIOs over the next few months are supposed to determine which applications could meet the needs and use this new identity platform, login.gov, and then put a plan together to say, okay, how are you going to get there? Not just that you could do it, but how you are going to use it.
This sounds like one of Tony Scott's airplanes landing, as he put it when he became CIO. There's a lot of things in the air, but it's hard to bring them home to earth as finished products. This sounds like something he really wants to leave off as having done.
I think so, and because I think it's been trying to get done for so many years and for decades, I think one of the things they're putting together is a short time frame. Let's get something going. Let's get a proof of concept. Let's prove that this can be done successfully, and then let's expand it out, which I think is really the model that we've seen from OMB, from 18F, from the U.S. Digital Services and other organizations.
So the three jobs that GSA has, that the CIOs have and so forth, and that OMB itself has, are these serial? Are these all going to happen kind of at the same time?
I think absolutely they have to in many regards. I mean, I think once 18F gets some of their deliverables done, whether it's the common technical architecture or the user interface components, once they kind of decide on the metrics, I think then other things can happen after that. In the meantime, I think agency CIOs can start identifying those applications that are facing citizens, that citizens do use, that would make sense to add this platform to or put on this platform so they can do identity proofing, identity authentication, and really make it easier to interact.
And so what's the reaction so far?
The reaction's mixed, mostly not good, though. I've talked to several people that are in the identity management community, people who have been following this for years and years and years, and they say, what, this again? We've seen this over and over again. Dan Tersini, who's the Chief Technology Officer and Chief Information Security Officer at SolPass, he actually called the memo painful, and it's a rehash of the same rhetoric over the last 25 years. He said, why can't they just get to the point when they understand what needs to be done? This is not about the technology. This is about the applications. And he actually pointed to the Defense Department as really the one outlier in government that has made this idea of public key infrastructure, this idea of certificate authority work, because they have 10,000 applications that require a standards-based approach. And he goes, then the other technologies can be built to it versus building a technology that either A, others can't use, or B, don't match up, integrate well with. And he just is very frustrated.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. And in Tony Scott's plan, it sounds like industry has no part in this.
Initially, I think they probably don't, but I think as you read through the memo, I think that you can see that once they get this stood up, they'll need the integration support, they'll need the help. And I think, Tom, that's part of the other question that's going on here, and I think that's not clear in the memo, is several other agencies are already in the works and buying or building identity management. Let me give you one example. So Tony Scott, in his cover letter, explains that the priorities for this new login.gov platform is going to be the Veterans Affairs Department with vets.gov, the IRS with Get Transcript, and the Social Security Administration's MySSA.
Right.
All makes sense. Big portals. People use them. Well, VA just awarded a contract to a company called Ad Hoc LLC. Their winning team includes a company called ID.me, and ID.me is going to build, guess what? An identity management authentication platform for vets.gov. Well, 18F is working on an identity management services platform that vets.gov will use. Do you see the problem here? We have two separate things going on.
There's already stovepipes going for the same agency, the same department.
And let's move to IRS real quick. Same problem. What did the IRS just do? They re-released Get Transcript. I think Nicole Grisco had that story last week for you. And what did they do? They worked with the U.S. Digital Service to build a two-factor authentication portal or a service for identity management. Well, what's 18F going to do? Work with Get Transcript to build identity management services. So it's unclear how this all fits together. Maybe there is a plan. Maybe they will fit together, Tom, but it's not clear from the memo. I think it's just confusing, and that's adding to this challenge.
Well, could this be why the memo was not released publicly? Because Congress is starting to nose around whether the government is buying or building, and they're supposed to have a bias toward commercial products, but 18F and digital services are clearly we build our own.
I'm glad you said that, not me. Why wasn't this memo released not publicly? That's a good question. I'm not sure there's an answer to it, and maybe maybe you hit the nail on the head.
All right. And also, Jason, in your this week's Reporter's Notebook, you write about this change in federal procurement with regard to price as an evaluation factor. Again, GSA, DOD, even Congress in on it.
Now, this gets a little bit, Tom, in the weeds of federal procurement, but let's just make this easy. For years, for decades, a major evaluation factor for any contract has been price. Not necessarily lowest price, but how does your price fit in a range? And if you're $10 million and everybody else is $5 million, even though you're technically better, that's a head scratcher for government, and you maybe get a minus on the price as an evaluation factor. What GSA has been doing, and you saw this with the OASIS Professional Services government-wide contract. You see it with the latest HR training contract called HCACS. You're going to see it with the Alliant 2 RFP that's coming out in the next couple of weeks. Is price is not going to be an evaluation factor not a big one, but they want the price competition to happen at the task order level, and both DOD is paying attention, and as you said, Congress is. And in fact, there were two provisions in the defense authorization bill that address this as in pilot programs. The House passed its version with that provision in it. The Senate, which was offered by Tom Carper, did not get approved for even debate. But because it's in one versus both or none, it still will be a part of that if it eventually goes to conference. So this is a huge change not to have price as a major evaluation factor, specifically multiple award IDIQ type contracts.
Right, where the task order is, where the contract, the specific work is actually done. But if price occurs there, what if the government finds out, golly, all these prices are way more than I was expecting when I let them onto the contract in the first place?
Well, I think at that
vehicle
point,
first place,
that means the government didn't do their homework well, because part of this discussion is if there's three or four or five people bidding and they're all higher than you thought, then that's your fault for not understanding what the market was versus the vendor's fault. Plus, vendors have said a long time, you are wanting me to try to bid on a price on something that I don't even know what I'm going to be doing. I don't have any specifics. It's like provide professional services. Well, that could be $50 an hour to $250 an hour, because I don't know what kind of professional services. So I think that it's an important move. I'd be interesting to see if it starts catching on more broadly than these big IDIQ government-wide contracts, if other agencies will start using it as this approach.
Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Tom.
You can read his notebook online now at federalnewsradio.com and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.